Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are continuing today to explore that third principle for developing good personal relationships, as found in James 1:19, which says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And we're dealing with that third one, slow to wrath. If you're going to have good personal relationships, you've got to learn to be a good listener, number one. You've got to learn to become a thoughtful speaker, number two. And you must learn to control your temper, number three. Control your temper. And so today is Tuesday, and we gather around the Word of God once again on the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for joining us. And many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us on the air. Slow to wrath. For, the verse goes on to say in verse 20, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." We saw on the broadcast yesterday that the kind of anger that James is talking about here is a slow, seething, smoldering resentment, an inner resentment, a deliberate and persistent attitude of hostility, the kind of anger that goes on and on and on, the kind of anger that describes what sometimes are called people, or when we call people an angry person. And do you know, most of the time, the person who is characterized as an angry person by others doesn't necessarily consider themselves to be that way. This is something which has built up inwardly over a period of time, and they've begun to take on certain attitudes and characteristics which reflect that, but they don't know it because that's just the way they are. That's the way they feel. They've been that way for so long, they don't know what the alternative is. Others can see it, but you can't many times. But I think probably all of us have had periods in our life when we were dealing with, as they call it, anger issues. Maybe we did know about that, because it wasn't a long settled thing, but it could have been something that went on for a period of weeks or months. And sometimes that will not be recognized, but oftentimes it is. And we all need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us, am I an angry person? Do I have an ungodly anger? Because it's clear that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So if I've got this unholy anger within myself, then I cannot please the Lord. I cannot develop the fruit of the Spirit. I cannot be the kind of person that will honor and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a problem that needs to be dealt with. I have an anger problem. Anger causes many hasty and hurtful words. That injunction that goes before this one, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Well, that slow to speak and slow to wrath often go together, because when we are not slow to wrath, when we have a quick trigger kind of temper, then the way it usually shows itself is in spewing forth many hasty and hurtful words. And as we know, words cannot be taken back once they're spoken. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? "But I say to you that whoever is angry at, or with rather, his brother without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment." And whoever says to his brother, Rakish, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, do you see the relationship here between anger and wrong words? It starts out with anger. Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. We ought to stop and reflect on that one for a while. That seems to be saying that people who are angry without a just cause, a righteous cause, in other words, a godly cause, people whose anger does not reflect the righteous anger of a holy God, but reflects rather the sinful anger of fallen men, those who reflect that are in danger of eternal judgment, condemnation. Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says, now here are the words, first the anger, the inward resentment, the inward feeling, the inward attitude, which is an ungodly attitude, and that angry attitude results in what? Whoever says, now the words come tumbling out. Whoever says to his brother, Rakish, shall be in danger of the council, and whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. That's a sobering statement. It ought to cause us to be very careful, very thoughtful, when we realize what Jesus is saying. So many times we, in our hasty temper, say things that ought never to have been said, and we wish we could take those words back, but too late. They've already been spoken. They've already done their damage. They've already inflicted a wound in the soul of another person, which is not easily healed. It can be, of course, over time and with the grace of God, but it's not easily healed. And sometimes it is never healed in this life. And what is the primary cause of sinful anger? Well, I would submit to you that it is pride. We get angry when our pride is wounded. In fact, every sin can ultimately be traced back to pride. There often are many steps along the way, but when you keep following the steps back, that's eventually where it gets to. Right back to pride. That's the root of it all, isn't it? And that's the cause of sinful anger. We flare up. We fly off the handle. We lose our temper because our pride has been wounded. And therefore, we've got to learn to rein that in. And we've got to learn to rein that in by being taught by the Spirit of God to be a truly humble person. Humble people aren't angry people. Proud people are angry people. Humble people don't fly off the handle and lose their temper. Proud people lose their temper. Humble people don't say angry words on the telephone and slam the receiver down. But proud people do that sort of thing quite often. Humble people don't shout. Get angry and shout at others, but proud people do a lot of that kind of activity, a lot of shouting. Oh, yes. Anger, anger, anger. Now, the question that may arise is there such a thing as righteous anger in anyone but God? Is there a place for what we call righteous indignation? And actually, I've already dealt with that question on the broadcast yesterday. But let's look at it from a biblical standpoint. I just simply answered it from my own understanding without giving you the scripture for it. But here's what Paul, the apostle, said in Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and do not sin. It is possible to have an anger that is not a sinful anger. And we've already explained that when our anger is a reflection of God's anger, and he certainly has anger, when people don't understand that the true, righteous, holy, almighty ruler of the universe, has anger, just wrath. When people don't understand that, then they don't understand who God is and what he's like. Oh, yes, God does have righteous anger. And when our anger is truly a reflection of God's anger, and in nothing else besides that, only a reflection of God's anger, then in that instance, it is a righteous anger. It is possible to be angry and not to sin, but it doesn't happen very often, frankly. In my experience, in my observation, I would say that most of the anger that I personally have experienced has not been righteous indignation, and most of the anger that I have observed in others has not been righteous indignation. Most of the anger that I see, either in me or in others, turns out to be the kind of anger that does not produce the righteousness of God, that we read about in James 1:20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I guess we could put it this way. If I am angry at nothing but sin, I will not sin when I am angry. If I am angry at nothing but sin, then I will not sin when I am angry. But when I am angry at things that are not sin or that are sin, but there's more than my anger at sin in my anger, if you know what I'm saying, and I've talked about that before, it's very difficult for us, because of our fallen sinful nature, to sort that out. And many times there will be a righteous element to our anger, but there also will be a sinful element. We will be angry at something that is sin, but we'll be angry because of wounded pride. We'll be angry because of very carnal and ungodly reasons. And when that's true, many times we justify our anger because of the righteous element that was in it, failing to recognize the sinful element that was in it. And so I say it again, if I am angry at nothing but sin, I will not sin when I am angry. God's wrath is only wrath against sin. That's the only thing he ever gets angry about. And if I'm angry at nothing but sin, I will not sin when I am angry. But we too easily justify our sinful anger as righteous indignation when it is no such thing. And when harm is directed at us personally, and we fail to turn the other cheek, but rather rise up in righteous indignation, then we are displaying ungodly anger. What does anger accomplish when we exercise it? Well, not much. Not much. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That is the righteousness that God requires of his people. Anger is not a proper tool for promoting righteousness. Human wrath seldom accomplishes spiritual goals. Remember when Moses got angry and struck the rock twice when God told him to strike it once? Well, he was mad. He was angry. He was angry at the sin of the people. Wasn't he justified in that? He thought so, but God didn't. He was judged of God. Remember Jonah, the pouting prophet, who got angry with God? That was not righteous indignation. Well, there's lots of angry people in this world, to be sure. I hope you're not one of them, but if you are, you need to change by the grace of God, and by the grace of God, you can change. Go to him and ask him to help you to become a humble person, a quiet person, a person who is slow to wrath. Until tomorrow at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.